Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today we have Chris Rossini and filling in once again for Daniel. Daniel's still traveling. But we will have our program and we'll prepare ourselves for our families and to celebrate Thanksgiving soon. So, but I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And Chris is talking to us and visiting with us from his home. So Chris, welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you on a Wednesday, Dr. Paul.
Right. Okay. Want to talk today about what's in the media. Actually, it has to do with the Federal Reserve and Treasury, and we need to talk about Yellen. She's been at the Federal Reserve. She'll soon be at the Treasury, and she, we might be able to define her as an insider. I think we can define her that. But Biden says, and he's bragging about back to normal. And I guess what we should talk about a little bit today, Chris, is what is normal? What is normal to some people or some Democrats is not exactly normal for libertarians. Maybe we'd like to improve on what we have and not just go back. There were bits and spurts of libertarianism over history, but basically government's always been too big, spend too much money, print too much money, and they don't care about sound money. So we're not necessarily in the crowd saying, let's just go back. What we want to do is we want to talk about the policies. And right now, it's the Democrats and Biden are just saying, well, all we need is going back to normal. Won't it be wonderful? The old days are coming back again. And they're digging up some people now that served under Obama, and they think that everything is going to be good. But I, quite frankly, Chris, believe they're in for some surprises if they actually believe that.
Right, Dr. Paul. It is typical leftist thinking. They like to eliminate what happened. You're always going back to year zero. Well, in this case, they want to go back to pre-2016. And like you and Daniel pointed out yesterday, the warmongers are licking their chops. They're talking about Paris agreements, Janet Yellen, like you mentioned, and just pretend that the last 4 years never happened. Well, not only did it happen, but President Trump stirred up an Americana that has been asleep for a very long time. I think, 79 million votes or something like that. So the last 4 years did happen. And the hysterics against him really woke up a lot of people, realizing that something is really wrong here. So what happens next is a mystery to all of us. But as far as we're concerned, we're staying straight and steady and concerned with the ideas of freedom and liberty.
Right. And we mentioned three things in our title about where they might be taking us. And of course, they're not too exciting. First, we believe if you did go back to the period that they call normal, and this is not a partisan thing, because many times in the old days or in recent history, both parties are pretty much allies with corporatism. Corporatism, of course, is the combination of the government and corporation, which is very, very dangerous, because that is the planting the seeds of fascism, where they're partners and both parties serve in that interest. But when they say they talk about going back, they're not going back to they might even try to get the socialists to go along with it, because we have socialists in the Congress now and they have a bully pulpit with the media. But it isn't simply written off as socialism and ownership by the government, because it is a continuation of corporations being in bed with the government. The best example we've used over the years is the military industrial complex, because they make a lot of money and they do a lot of mischief. But also, and you, I think, already mentioned some of these international agreements is globalism, which Trump has spoken out against. Although some of his moves weren't as smooth as I thought they should be, but he did make a point that there were too many obligations in internationalism, and there are some downside to it. But there's also too much danger in just the whole idea of endorsing the ideas of international interventionism. Even if you do it, you're on your own. If you're taking people from American citizens and passing it out around the world and engaging ourselves and occupying empire. That's been a bipartisan effort, although I think the Democrats and the people who are talking about going back to normal, they think that Trump is just horrible because he is not militant enough, and he talks about bringing troops home, and things have, I observed that they have gotten somewhat better because he hasn't started a major war. But if you compare that to Obama, I mean, he was very militant in starting more wars and moving troops in, going to Afghanistan, the good war, and going to Syria and Libya and all these other places. But, you know, also very much involved in this move, this major description of back to normal, of course, is the big appointment to Secretary of Treasury, and that's Janet Yellen. And she was an appointee by the Democrats and was in the Federal Reserve for 4 years. And Trump essentially fired her and put in Powell. But, you know, Chris, if you look at those names and look at difference, you have to search for the differences because I've seen it happen that when you get that far up the ladder of monetary policy and political power, there's not going to be a whole lot of difference. What will be the difference, and what has been the difference with Powell and Yellen and Bernanke, even Greenspan, that, you know, was a libertarian? You know, it's always the same thing. It's the deep state that controls things. So it's really, I think, the caution that we want to warn about is the deep state, no matter which way you're going, back to normal or advancing to purified socialism or whatever they want to do. It's always the same thing, because I think we've recognized this more than ever. Even the deep state has their divisions, and all the conflict going on with a recent election, you know, it is unified in many ways, long-term philosophy. On the short term, they fight over personalities and power, and that's what we're witnessing now.
Right, and you mentioned international agreements, and we're seeing this, oh, we're just gonna sign the Paris Agreement. Yeah, so what? You know, the UN, they don't have any taxing power, any military power. All policies all over the world, they're implemented locally. And if local politicians try to implement something that their constituents don't want, they will be thrown out of office and the policy will be reversed, Paris Agreement or not. So you could even look at, in our own country, Biden is threatening lockdowns. And there are states that are saying, no, we're not going to do that. There are state governors who are saying, no, you can't have more than 12 people, and local politicians and officials are saying, no, we're not going to do that. So, you know, it's good to be against all these international universalist stuff, you know, just from a sovereignty point of view. But we always have to keep in mind that policies are always made locally, and you don't need any agreements to make that happen.
You know, I think Trump's made a real effort to distinguish his position from the Democrats dealing with COVID. Yet, he still stays the same. The Republicans have contributed to the problem. More resistance is building right now. But I read an article just recently about coming from the side that endorses all this nonsense. And in a way, it came across to me as being a little bit weird, because they were talking about how much it cost to save lives. That we've spent, in lockdown, it was a little bit expensive, $169 billion. But their claim is that, in a way, they didn't use these words, but they were claiming, well, this was sort of justified because it saved 29,000 lives. How they come up with that or not, because I've seen the statistics show, yes, it's been very costly and people died because of it, and it didn't save lives from COVID. So they're using this as an excuse to pursue this. And of course, going back to normal for Biden, he's up front on this because his normal is not ours, and it is going to be different. Although deep philosophic principles don't change much, at least there's a push in a slightly different direction. But this whole idea that they save lives by spending $169 billion, And quite frankly, I really read carefully. The skeptics are saying, you know, it's very hard to define this virus. It's very hard to develop a vaccine for a virus like this. It's very hard to understand what's going on when the statistics that they report are always slanted one direction or others. They change the definition. So these numbers just don't make a lot of sense. And of course, that's what moves emotions. But Chris, I think we see signs that maybe the people will wake up and help push the country in the right direction, because we're seeing more resistance developing. I think that's good.
Resistance is good, especially to this dominant philosophy that government is the center of the universe and everything revolves around it. You know, if anything, 2020 should teach people that one size definitely does not fit all, and it's a ridiculous idea to try to implement everywhere. And, you know, we're seeing this build back better repeated everywhere. You know, government does not build, it doesn't create, government is force. You know, former Supreme Court Justice John Marshall, who libertarians are not crazy about, by the way, said that the power to tax is the power to destroy. And, you know, you had George Washington, who said government is not reason. It's not eloquence. It's force. It's like fire. It could be a dangerous servant and a fearful master. So to think that government will build back what it never built in the first place, you know, it never built those small businesses that are closed right now. It sure destroyed those businesses, and that's what force does. It destroys. So, you know, there needs to be a philosophical change to that which creates, and liberty creates. If war destroys, peace creates. If tyranny destroys, liberty creates. And hopefully that message reaches more and more people.
You know, we can tell a lot by what the people think who support these appointments. And right now, the support is very, very strong for what Biden is doing and for what Yellen might represent. Matter of fact, Elizabeth Warren thinks she's a good idea. So, but you know, the one thing about Yellen, she's very intelligent. She used her intelligence to go in the wrong direction, but she does have a little bit more finesse. I might not even limit it to a little bit, but she does have finesse, and people like her, and she has a little bit of humor, and in a way, since she's going in the opposite direction, it makes her a little bit more dangerous. And you know, Wall Street likes her, and I think why they might like her better than Trump is she'll be more predictable. Trump has supported him. You know, you'd think that what if you had a libertarian in there that had to stop all this spending? Wall Street would be pretty annoyed, and yet Trump spent the money like all get out, and he has put a tremendous amount of pressure on the Federal Reserve to print more money. So, but I still think Wall Street, you know, covers their odds, and they think I believe and maybe true that they can handle Yellen, and she's more predictable than they have been for Trump. But I am impressed with some of the people, and it's not too many libertarians have endorsed what's happening with Biden, and not too many people have endorsed Yellen, although some have you know, not been, you know, real good on monetary policy and the gold standard. They still aren't, you know, the hardcore Austrian economists aren't supporting any of this nonsense that Biden is offering through Secretary of Treasury and the Federal Reserve.
All right, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by saying, you know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I want to thank everyone who watches us every day, every week, however often you can. Our freedom, obviously, this year woke up a lot of people, is constantly under attack. So it is time to speak out. We can't be silent. We have to not only learn about the ideas of liberty, but they have to be shared, you know, if we want to live in peace with others. Right now, people are looking for answers because this was a shock to their system this year. And what a grand opportunity for the ideas of liberty. So thank you for watching us. Please let the ideas not stop with you after you watch with us. Please share them. with others.
Very, very good, Chris. I want to close with a few comments about what I anticipate, you know, with the new administration, if there's a new one, or if the old one stays, what's going to happen? Because certain things are in motion, that no matter what they do, they're going to continue. How they come out and who gets injured the most and what the government does and who starts the war and who prevents the war, that they're still unknown. But the momentum for continuing to do what we're doing is so great that we can expect that they're going to continue to print a lot of money and the deficit is going to continue to explode. And it's amazing how many people, you know, don't think too much of that. They're worried about whether the check is going to be in the mail. But the people who are looking at this realize that the momentum is very, very great. People say, well, ask me, they say, are you predicting a lot of inflation coming? Not really. I'm trying to say the inflation is already here, because I narrow the definition down to more what the Fed is doing and the pressure on the Fed by the world economic system and the people here in this country, Republicans and Democrats and Wall Street and Main Street, because on the short run, everybody wants more money. And they're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars just even this year. And certainly the past 10 years, we've been living with, the whole episode of just creating trillions of dollars. So that's the inflation. Yeah, but how can you say that? Because the Fed, no matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats in, they're always saying, well, you know what we need to do to really help the economy is we need to punish the consumer more, because they can't save, they don't make any interest, but we want to raise the inflation rate, and that's going to help everybody. That is, take more money away from the consumer by raising prices. But you know, raising prices is a consequence of inflation. I think not only has the monetary system gone crazy with the creation of money and credit, what people don't understand is when they can create money and credit endlessly and eternally, but they can't control how the market and individuals, the consumers, the business people, the governments will react to this, because there's a subjective element to this. And right now it is true that consumer prices don't seem to be hitting the headlines, but even today, you can find statistics on the rapid rises in housing prices. And there will be this phenomenon of when money changes hands more often, you're actually increasing the available money supply. And that is controlled subjectively. So the base money, the M1 and the amount the Fed has created, it's huge. And it's going to come out, and we're going to see the suffering. We are going to see the correction that has to come, and it will not be easily taken care of by just printing more money again, because they've run out of tools. So it's difficult. So how can we be thankful on a day like this? Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and it's one of my favorite holidays because I'm very thankful for so much of what I've been given throughout my life. But the whole thing is, the best way to look at this is knowledge is something. Chris and I were just talking about when the people wake up and start to resist, you know, to try to get people to change policy when it comes to coronavirus, very difficult. Changing the rules made by all the governors and all the mayors and all the individuals in the Congress and all these people and the bailouts that happen, very, very difficult. But when the people get upset, they start to resist. So that to me is the good news. They're starting to resist. We should be grateful because we still are able to get information out, and that is the most important thing. People will change their mind, I believe sincerely, that if they hear the truth, they can distinguish the truth from the falsehood. Sometimes they might hear both, and they might go along with the falsehood because on the short run, that means a check in the mail for them. But on the long run, I think a lot of people know that what we're doing is unsustainable. So the more that people recognize this, the more optimistic we ought to be, because we've had some indications over the many, many years of understanding what liberty is all about. And our numbers can continue to grow. We are very happy with and very pleased with the support we get from this program, because I consider this a modest effort on my part to do whatever I can to try to wake people up as to why the benefits of liberty are so much greater than the so-called benefits of authoritarianism and fascism and welfarism. There's no long-term benefits from that. So I think that it's a very opportune time for us to continue this effort, and it's also an opportune time, with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, to be thankful for all our blessings. And I too would like to thank our audience today for tuning in, and please come back soon to the Liberty Report.